as I got into it, I started bumping into folks, or they started bumping into me, that would tell me stories about there's going to be a massive change in the sun. And being an inquisitive person, I would listen, and being, you know, somewhat reserved, I would just kind of nod my head and go, huh, that's interesting. But these stories started coming, 15 years ago to me, and long before we even started talking about some of these topics. So I collected a big pile of them, and I started looking at them, and I realized that somehow this was so strong of impulse for these people to just share these stories spontaneously with whomever would listen to them, that I realized it's probably coming from the subconscious aspect of our minds. And I do have a psychological background and a mental health counseling background as well as engineering. So, you know, it was interesting. I guess I would be the right person upon hindsight to come and tell these stories, because first I would be intrigued by the physics, and second I'd be a little more compassionate and not just brush them off as some type of nutcase. And so I really realize now that the reason that you and I are probably having this conversation this evening is that there must be a lot of us out here in our listening audience that probably also have bits and pieces of this puzzle. So in a kind of a convoluted way of answering your question, I think most scientists are still collecting data, and I'm not sure we do know. I mean, I've heard a lot of the theories, and we can talk about the Ice Age and 2012 and all this, but we don't even have to go there. We can look outside our window, or if we're really brave, we'll stand outside for a few hours and see the climate change right before our eyes.
Oh, no question about the climate change. No, I know that those in metaphysics have been saying this for quite a while now, that this is coming. But what I'm referring to is, of late, the real hardcore scientists are beginning to say cycle 24 is going to be probably the biggest work we've ever seen. And since they're real scientists, they've got to be basing this on real data of some sort. Now, maybe it's some sort of historical record that's pointing to what's about to happen. I'm just curious, do you have any hardcore scientific detail about why?
Well, again, you know, we can point to the controversial work of David Hathaway, because I feel he is on track. He's basically looking at all that data that we're referring to, and he's saying that there is a predictive element if we look at magnetic anomalies, looking at X-class flares, for example, looking for these bursts that have come, say, in 2003, we can start to track or plot. And he's saying, in essence, that he can predict a large solar maximum cycle in around 2011, 2012, based on what he's seen now in the minimum part of that 11-year cycle. So without getting way too technical, without the graphs and everything in front of us, that in a nutshell is what's going on, is that they're seeing the pattern that we look for in science to make predictions on, and he's made a very bold one to say that this may be the biggest in the last 400 years.
Even NASA's making the predictions, but you're saying he's making his predictions based on the flare activity at the minimum part of the cycle, which is where we are right now. And there has been some incredible, incredible stuff that's happened. But that, in a way, prophesizes what lies directly ahead.
Well, yes. In his model, there's a lag time between certain events that he sees on the sun, and he's seen enough, evidently, and tracked enough over, say, the last 100 years or so, which I think is probably what we really have data for, even though, you know, he's referring to going back to Galileo in 400 years when we look through, a filtered telescope. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that what we're seeing is this convergence of information from our satellite technology and the data collection process, and just looking at things such as ice core samples and other things that probably enter into this decision-making process.
All right. You came to link somehow the potential for World War III with a space war involving satellites. Now, the Chinese just whacked one of their own satellites, and yesterday I When I first heard the report of what the Chinese did, I thought they used kind of a brilliant pebbles scenario to whack their own satellite. But I'm being told by others that they did it with a single projectile. Is that true?
That's our understanding. In fact, I just saw come across the wire service this evening. Our intelligence folks say that they do not even believe that the president of China, President Hu, is aware of the impact, number one, of this test, and number two, he may have not even authorized it, that it may be a disconnect between their government and that the military is acting independently of their political leadership, which even frightens me more.
Wow. But again, you're hearing it was a single projectile kind of deal?
Yes, a missile, in essence, that was detonated either on contact or in close proximity to their weather satellite, approximately 500 miles in low Earth orbit.
Even we have not done that. We've done the Brilliant Pebbles shotgun approach, but I don't think we've ever hit something dead on with a single projectile like the Chinese.
That would be classified if we did. But I'm sure that on the drawing boards back in the 1980s, when I walked the halls of Ballistic Missile Defense Command, no doubt, as you said, there were projects there, and I've worked with some of the most brilliant folks who actually came up with some of these early ideas and presented them to the military and the Defense Department. And I was involved in some of those meetings, but there was a lot of discussion and a lot of different tactics and a lot of different strategies that would be employed to protect our satellites as well. But as you well know, yes, the testing goes on in the South Pacific and our other ranges around the United States.
John, how dependent on our satellites are we?
That's the key for me, Art. That's what really rattled me. When I just did not believe that we would come to this where that another major world power, nuclear power, would begin playing the chess game that could ultimately lead to wars in space. And that's exactly where I see the greatest concern right now. If we were to lose our weather prediction satellites, if we were to lose our internet, our banking, our telephones, our telecommunications, our television, you can imagine what it would be like in the morning to wake up to be blind and dumb as a nation and not be able to get information to our people, for example, let alone the economic impact and the military being on high alert.
No, you're really quite right, John. I remember it was just a few years ago, we lost a satellite. I think it was Galaxy 4 or, well, I don't know if that was it, but one of the satellites went down. And even here in Nevada, you couldn't go to the bank. All of the automatic tellers were closed down. The stores were helpless. You couldn't go in and charge something. And this was just from the loss of one single satellite.